that. Okay. Right, okay. We are looking at John chapter 7. And we're going to kind of explore a series of conversations that people had, where the main question being asked is, who is Jesus? Who is this guy? What is he doing? Why is he here? There we go. Okay, so the first conversation is between Jesus and his brothers. So, in short form, the brothers could say, are you going to the festival? Are you going to prove yourself? Now, as we go through these conversations, listen out for things that you hear from other people, but also whether there's anything in your heart that also says, prove yourself, show what you can do. Because the brothers are going, if you want to be a fantastic preacher, if you want to be someone who's known as a great teacher in God, you've got to go out there at the festival and show them. And I don't know whether Jesus' brothers were mocking him or whether they were serious. But this is what they say, prove yourself. And Jesus says, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come. Does that sound like an answer to their question? Jesus does this a lot, doesn't he? He's like, yeah, you're saying that, but what you really mean is something else. And he doesn't get drawn into a big debate about it. He just says, this is not what I need to do right now. And essentially, therefore, what Jesus is really saying is, I've got a mission, an objective. I've got something that needs to be done, and it needs to be done at a certain time. And I'm not going to act according to the world and its pressures, because I know what I need to do, and I know when the right time is. So that's the first conversation. Oh, press the right one. Okay. So, Jesus doesn't go to the festival straight away, but all the people who have gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles are going, where is Jesus? Where is this guy? We've heard so much about him. And some people are going, well, he's a really good man. And other people are going, no, he's a liar. He deceives people. That's what's happening. Lots of people want to see Jesus, but they're not really sure who he is and what he's doing. And they grumble, and they complain, and they don't speak out openly because they fear the Jewish leaders who have already made it really clear that they don't like Jesus. So it's this, like, that's the setting. Okay. Jesus gets up in the middle of the festival. Now, do you remember at Harvest we talked about the Feast of Tabernacles? It's a week-long festival. So about halfway through, Jesus goes up to the temple, the public space where everybody is, and he starts preaching, and he starts teaching. And all the Jewish leaders are left going, how did this man get so learned? Where does he get his teaching from? How can he talk like this? That's what the Jewish leaders are asking, and this is what Jesus says. My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? Once again, you kind of get the impression that the people talking with Jesus are having two very different conversations. This doesn't really sound like an answer to their question. But Jesus basically is saying, I've come from God, that's where my authority comes from. And actually, you guys aren't realising it because you've got your own agenda. And he talks about this thing that happened back in chapter 5 where the lame man got healed on the Sabbath. Okay? And they were all complaining because he'd broken the Sabbath and healed this man. And that was breaking the law of Moses. So Jesus is setting this up so that he can use their own words against them, effectively. So he set up this thing. He said, I'm from God, my teaching's from God, and he raises this issue about Moses and the law. And he also says, why are you trying to kill me? So guess what? The people are like, you're mad. What are you on about? We're not trying to kill you. I mean, they go as far as to say he's demon-possessed. Okay? These guys are like, we don't have a clue what you're on about. And then Jesus, in response to that, says, I did one miracle, and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Wow. I mean, like, again, Jesus is not really answering the question that they really want him to answer, is he? He's bringing up his own agenda. Jesus has got stuff that he wants them to know. And so Jesus points out to them that they'd say with their mouth that they're really keen to obey the law of Moses and to do the will of God. But actually, they break that law about the Sabbath when they think it's right to do so. So in terms of circumcision, in order to keep the law of Moses, they're willing to circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. But to heal a man? No, that's not part of the rules. That's not what's allowed. And so Jesus challenges them, actually, have a think about this, guys. What is right? Is that rule has to be kept for that thing? Then how can it not be okay to heal a man? Something according to God's will. The Father's desire for wholeness. And you think it's wrong to do that just because it's a Sabbath. So he challenges them, judge correctly, have a think about it. Okay. And then it goes on. So naturally, Jesus has kind of said this all in a public space, and the people are starting to talk and question and go, what is this? Okay. And the Jewish authorities haven't challenged Jesus openly and publicly. They haven't arrested him or done anything at this point. And so John's Gospel says that people were thinking, so have they changed their mind? Do the Jewish authorities now think that Jesus is the Messiah? And they start thinking about that, and they say, well, he can't be the Messiah because we know where this man comes from. And the Messiah is going to have some kind of mysterious origins. We're not going to know where the Messiah comes from. And so what does Jesus say? Jesus says, yes, you know me, and you know where I come from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him. But I know him because I am from him and he sent me. Again, it's just like a different conversation, isn't it? But Jesus agrees that they know him and that they know where he is from, in a human sense. But they are completely missing the fact that he's sent from God and that it's God's authority with which he acts. Okay. So the people are talking about Jesus. The Jewish authorities now think, well, we're going to have to do something. So they send some guards to go and arrest Jesus so he will stop teaching in such a public place, such an important festival, and they can try and get rid of it. And so the guards come to arrest Jesus, and Jesus says to them, I am only with you for a short time, and then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. And that really confuses the people. Because they're thinking, where is this place? They're thinking a physical place, somewhere that Jesus might actually go. Like maybe to where the Greeks are living outside of Jerusalem and far away. But actually, we know Jesus was talking about his death, resurrection, and ascension. They didn't. So we'll give them a break. So, Feast of Tabernacles, do you remember that at the highlight of this festival there was water being poured at the altar in the temple? and being flowed down, and water and light was a really important part of this festival. And at this climax of the festival, Jesus stands up and says, rather famous words now, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." That's a really public call, a real public attention-grabbing thing where Jesus says, "Come to me and get life." And all the Jewish people knew that you got life from God. So this is a massive statement that Jesus is making. And not surprisingly, people respond in lots of different ways. And again, I think we can hear some of the ways that people here and today respond. Surely this man is a prophet. Wow, he is the Messiah. He is the one that's been sent. And then you get the people going, "But he can't be. He's just a man from Galilee. That doesn't work. We know that he's got to be from the line of David." So they obviously don't know much about Jesus, do they? They think they know it all, but they don't. But the truth is, people are divided. They don't know what to make of this. So, Jesus has taught publicly in the temple. The guards have gone to arrest him, and they don't. And so the Jewish leaders are going to the guards, "Why didn't you take him? Why didn't you arrest him like we told you to?" They're probably mad, aren't they? I mean, like, you know, they were trying to get rid of Jesus, and he's just gone for it right at the climax of this massive festival where everyone's gathered in Jerusalem. And the guards haven't arrested him. Why? No one ever speaks the way this man does. What kind of excuse is that? Doesn't really sound like a good excuse for not doing the job. But actually, what it really picks up on is Jesus speaks with authority. His words are authoritative. And actually, the guards may not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They may not believe that he is sent from God. But what they do know is that he has power and authority that is greater than theirs. And that's something the Pharisees aren't getting, is it? The Jewish leaders aren't really getting that. And yet Nicodemus does. Nicodemus says, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? Nicodemus wants to know more. He says, let's give this guy a hearing. And he appeals to the law for that. But the Jewish officials are having none of it. They just want this guy shut up. And they rather cleverly accuse Nicodemus of being a bit stupid. They say, everybody knows the prophets don't come from Galilee. You fool. What are you saying that for? Well, we have seen lots of interactions between Jesus and the people he met at that feast. But I firmly believe the most important interaction is the one that I had with Jesus. Or the one that you have with Jesus. Yeah? Like, we don't have to believe the same thing. We won't have the same questions. And it's really great to get together and have a talk and have a think and, you know and learn from each other about who Jesus is. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is that we make a decision for ourselves about who Jesus is, what he's come to do, and how we're going to respond to that. You have to decide if he's bad and mad and someone that you should be ignored, or whether he's someone that is a really good teacher and really wise and someone to be listened to. But most of all, we have to decide if Jesus is the Messiah or the Christ, the one who is sent from God to save us. And as we look through the Gospels, we'll see that people have lots of questions. There are lots of conversations and interactions where it's not easy, where the disciples really don't get it. And that's okay. It's okay to have lots of questions. It's okay to stumble and get it wrong. But ultimately, it's about being on that path of life and following Jesus. So I think this chapter in John is an encouragement for us to keep talking with Jesus and to keep asking our questions. We don't have to know everything. We don't even have to be sure about some of the things that we read in the Bible. But what we do need to know is where we find life. You see, John's Gospel says that Jesus said that life-giving water flowed from within those who believe in him, and that he was talking about the Holy Spirit when he said that. Jesus said, if you want life, it needs to come from me. It needs to be the Holy Spirit within you. Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit, and we need to be continually filled up to overflowing. So how does that happen? I think when we stay close to Jesus, when we talk to him and we ask him, when we confess our faith and our love for him, even when we're confused and lost and hurting. So shortly we're going to sing a final hymn that declares some truth about Jesus. But before that, I thought I might try and summarise a bit about what Jesus has said about himself and give us some time to think about how we're responding. So Jesus said his timing is set by the Father in heaven and that he speaks on behalf of God who sent him. And he says that I judge with righteous judgment. And in fact, Jesus is the only one who truly obeys the law of Moses. Jesus said, you know me and where I come from, but you don't know the one who sent me. You don't know my Father. And Jesus said, come to me if you're thirsty and you need life-giving water. So will you come to Jesus and receive the living water, the Holy Spirit, life in abundance? Will you come to know your Father in heaven who has been revealed and made known in Jesus Christ? Will you accept that Jesus fulfilled all the law of Moses and that Jesus alone knows what is right and has authority to judge? Will you sit under his judgment? Will you hear the words of Jesus, recognizing that they are indeed the words of God, the words of life to you? And will you trust in Jesus' timing, even when the pressures of this world seem to demand something different? Let's take a bit of time to be quiet and to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us any place where we're not living as we should, where perhaps we're anxious or unsure and we just need his love and comfort. I don't know what God wants to say to you. I don't know what you want to say to him. But let's just spend a little bit of time doing that, and then I'll close with a prayer and we'll sing our hymn. Okay.